The Best of Times Radio Hour, live on 101.7 FM and 710 Kiel, a show dedicated to seniors and boomers in Northwest Louisiana. Here's your host, Gary Kaligas.
Good morning, radio listeners. I'm Gary Kaligas, the publisher of The Best of Times magazine. It's the only magazine and radio show for mature adults in Northwest Louisiana. I do thank you for tuning into our show today and also thanking those who might be listening live via the internet at www.710keel.com. Also thanking those who might be listening via the Keel application on their Apple or Android devices. We also thank those who might be listening this via a podcast on the bestoftimesnews.com website or Apple Podcast. We do thank AARP Louisiana Neighbors, Ten and Country of Shreveport, your Dodge, Chrysler, Ram, and Jeep dealer for being the exclusive sponsors of this radio show to provide you with beneficial information each and every Saturday morning. In just a few minutes, we're going to learn the ways to avoid being victimized via computer scans and identity theft. So stay tuned to our show to learn some details to help you and your loved ones. It is Saturday, October the 19th, and we are broadcasting our show from the studios of News Radio's 710 Kiel, a Town Square media station here in wonderful Shreveport, Louisiana. However, today's show has been pre-recorded, so we will be unable to accept call-in questions and comments from our loyal radio listeners. Be sure to pick up our September-October issue of The Best of Times at our 270 distribution locations. We do thank you for the many compliments about our magazine. We do appreciate hearing from you. If you're unable to find one of our printed copies at our 270 distribution locations, remember you can visit our website at www.thebestoftimesnews.com to view both current and past issues. We have over 8 years of issues on our website. In addition, you can view and download the 2024 Silver Pages Senior Resource Directory. In addition, you can, as I mentioned, you can listen to previously broadcast shows here on the Best of Times Radio Hour. Each and every month, the Best of Times sends out a TBT newsletter via e-blast over 73,000 email addresses of seniors and boomers residing in Caddo and Bossier parishes of Louisiana. It provides them with links to read our current issue, but also gives them additional information that's not found in our magazine. These articles, these educational articles, are definitely beneficial. We've had many compliments about those. In addition, we offer discounts and coupons and a contest, and also especially upcoming events and news that you can use. Join the many thousands who are receiving this free newsletter via the email address. Just visit our website at www.thebestoftimesnews.com to subscribe free to our TBT newsletter. Great news, our friends at Ernest Orleans continues to have the Best of Times special dinner each and every Thursday from 4:30 p.m. to closing, with fabulous meals at a highly discounted price, along with entertainment and, of course, free valet parking. It is highly recommended due to the popularity of this Thursday night Best of Times special to make advance reservations by calling 318-226-1325. Again, 318-226-1325. Make plans to attend the largest Senior Boomer Expo in the state of Louisiana. Yes, it will be the 14th annual Senior Day Expo at the Louisiana State Fair on Wednesday, October 30th, from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. in the Gala Big Top Tent at the main entrance of the Louisiana State Fairgrounds in Shreveport. Of course, admission is free. Parking is free. Admission to the fair is free. There will be lots of fun, entertainment, hundreds and hundreds of giveaways, many hundreds of door prizes, health screenings, vaccines administration, as well as information from over 120 exhibitors. Attendees can also register to win some special grand door prizes valued at over $1,000 each. You must be present to attend and win one of our door prizes. In addition, for more information, do pick up the September-October issue of The Best of Times magazine or visit our popular website at www.thebestoftimesnews.com. We'll be right back with more information, but now a word from our sponsors and advertisers who do make this radio show possible. You're listening to the Best of Times Radio Hour here on News Radio 710 Keel, proudly presented by AARP Louisiana and A-Bears Town and Country of Shreveport, your Dodge, Chrysler, Ram, and Jeep dealer.
The Best of Times Radio Hour will be right back on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel. Now back to the Best of Times Radio Hour on 101.7 FM at 710 Keel.
Welcome back to our show, the Best of Times Radio Hour, proudly presented by AARP Louisiana and A-Bears Town and Country of Shreveport, your Dodge, Chrysler, Ram, and Jeep dealer. I'm Gary Kaligas. I'm glad you took time to listen to our show today. Joining me on my radio show today is a special guest, is Mr. William Miolis, who is the cybersecurity manager with Auburn University in Auburn, Alabama. I've asked him to come on our show today to discuss the ways to avoid being victimized via computer scams and identity theft. So thank you, Bill, for joining us today here on the Best of Times Radio Hour.
Well, thanks for having me.
So, listeners, I do want to disclose some transparency to you today. William Miolis, known as Bill, is my brother-in-law, whom I've known for the past 52 years, and he's my wife's brother. Tina, who everybody knows, is the esteemed editor of the Best of Times for the past 23 years, and of course, everybody knows she's my wonderful wife for the past 50 years. So, again, I want to mention that I've known Bill for many, many years, and when I asked him to join in our show today, because he is an expert in this. I've learned a lot from him in our trials and tribulations and discussing over the many, many years at family gatherings, etc. So, again, thank you, Bill, for joining us today.
Okay, ready to go.
So explain to our listeners, what is cybersecurity? That term just pops up all the time, and why is it important?
Well, so we'll start back. Probably Gary goes back 52 years. I've been doing cybersecurity for over 40, but originally it was really called information security. And when I met my lovely wife over 30 years ago, I tried to explain to her what information security was. And finally, you just break down. You say, well, I work with computers. And that's really said more to just show the evolution of where everyone knows really what cybersecurity is and what it does. And what cybersecurity is really trying to do, and what I try to do as the chief information security officer at Auburn University, is you're trying to protect the data that our consumer, in our case, our students, our researchers, our government contracts, et cetera, have entrusted us with that data. You know, similarly, when you've entrusted data to your bank, to your financial institutions, to Best of Times, to anyone that you've given information to, they have an obligation to try to protect it. And so really what cybersecurity is doing is trying to evaluate things from a risk. You know, where are our risks to our data? And trying to say, what controls can we put in place? And so we'll talk briefly about some of the controls and then some of the attacks that people try to get against both us and obviously individuals. And typically they're after the same thing. They're after your money. And there's just a lot of schemes in the technology that's coming forward, primarily with artificial intelligence, makes it even scarier and scarier, and we'll talk about that a little bit. So
Bill, the other thing I want to mention that I've known him, I know he's been involved in cybersecurity, information security, but do you recall, I was in the healthcare field as well, and back before all that was happening, the computers and all that, it was like HIPAA. Everybody's worrying about documents being accidentally disclosed or a physician or a healthcare professional disclosing information that shouldn't be disclosed. Remember that, those days? Those were many years ago.
We still deal with HIPAA. We still deal with HIPAA every day and still see people misspell HIPAA. And HIPAA is really just a security standard that was issued for the healthcare industry. And realistically, back in the early 2000s, there were both privacy and security requirements that were done by HIPAA. One way to know if someone knows what they're talking about is if they know what HIPAA stands for, how to spell it. And one is it's always spelled with one P, not two P's. It's not hippo. If you think of an animal, hippo, it's not a hippo.
Good point.
It is actually HIPAA. It's Health Insurance Portability and Accountability Act. And so that's really where, you know, cybersecurity, I started. I started back at UAB Health System was there first, and at that time it was called Information Security Officer in 1993.
Oh.
And the thing that we were concerned with is, and still to this day, some of the most valuable information people have is their medical information and their insurance information and their Medicare numbers, because people will try to do what's called healthcare identity theft. And what that means is they go in as someone. And so Social Security numbers were obvious. But back in the day, if you remember back in 93, most of your listeners will remember when you got your insurance card, it would typically be your Social Security number and then a couple of letters at the end of it, because you can't use Social Security as an identifier according to the federal government. So they would add the terms like, I know mine was My Social and XAA. So any bright person could then, you know, really use Social Security number. And the thing was HIPAA came out and people were concerned about, you know, data. And in fact, well, was the reason I was such a pioneer in healthcare was because UAB, which is where I work, University of Alabama Birmingham Health Systems, was looking to get their own employees to utilize a health product that they were going to create, an insurance product, and stay at the hospital. And people were so concerned with computers, they did not really want their data where their friends and coworkers could see it. And in other words, you know, again, why should I allow, you know, someone else that works next to us? And so one of some of the simple things we did was, you know, things that still continue today, if it got more sophisticated. But some of the things are is, you know, we put in controls to first just authenticate who users are.
Okay.
Back, you know, 30 years ago, so we'll go through a little history lesson if that's okay, Gary. But
good.
30 years ago, people didn't really think about cybersecurity. And so even many doctors would say, if you make me key in a password, it's going to slow me down and you're going to kill somebody, young man. so that'll tell you also how long ago it was. And so what happened was is HIPAA came out as one of the first federal regulations that actually mandated security within an industry. And it was done under the guise, like the government does, is the Health Insurance Portability and Accountability Act. And if there is a standard that I'm very familiar with, it is it. In fact, I wrote the only time I've been publishing a book was that. Well, I've been publishing books, but the only book I published was on how to survive an audit of HIPAA if you were to be audited. But the biggest thing was is there was a need and there was a concern. And so the second control outside of making sure only people that could get into a system could get into a system. And again, I'm putting back my memory cap on, but the second thing that we really implemented that was actually at the time somewhat people were like, why would you ever want to do some of these things? And that dealt with the fact that knowing who's looking at what records. So we implemented what you'll hear a term called about audit trail. Don't worry about the term so much, but what that typically does for critical systems, and it's still not uniformly used as much as it should, although standards are pushing that way. It is used in healthcare a lot. And that is to be able to tell if someone looked at a record.
Oh, yes.
Most systems will tell you if someone changed a record or updated a record. But they did not tell you who viewed a record. So what we did back at UAB to help satisfy our own employees would say, if someone views your record and they view it inappropriately, they're going to be subjected to disciplinary action. And it wasn't enough just to say it. We had to show them that we had that ability so that when you were looking, as long as you were doing it for a legitimate need, that was not a problem.
Okay.
But humans don't always believe you. And back again, I'm putting a 30-year hat on. We had to discipline some people, in fact, terminate a couple of people. Because what would happen was, is inevitably, they would look up records. And I've told this story, again, Gary, for 30 years, and that is one of the first cases we had dealing with someone viewing medical information was there was a person that was in the hospital. And they were a coworker at UAB, and the one of the nurses, and when it's a nurse, but it was one of the individuals, I'm pretty sure it was a nurse, looked at the records, found the room number, and took her down, you know, a box of chocolates. The second individual not only looked at that record, but started looking at historical records and all their health information and really dove in.
Oh,
okay?
Wow.
So now I get to turn questions around back to Gary Kaligas. Which of those individuals were disciplined?
Probably the first one.
The one that just took candy, you disciplined him, and not the one that looked at all the records?
Well, looking at all the records, definitely. But the other one directly made contact with the person. I mean, could have.
Well, yeah, the other one did too. But the real thing was all they did was take him a box of chocolates, didn't look at diagnosis or anything. But answer was both.
Okay, both. Okay.
The both. Because you have a right under HIPAA to have privacy even within your hospital. You can what's called opt out of a directory so that people don't even know you're there, and can tell a story about that later. But at the end of the day, that person did it with a warm heart, did not look into the diagnosis, the meds, okay, previous issues, but they still had broken hospital
policy,
which is if you want to find the room number that the individual's in, you call the main number and say, what room is Gary Kaligas in?
Right.
Okay, and there were reasons for that. The second person was clearly vindictive, and I did not talk to other coworkers. You don't want to work with this person. They've had this, and this. They've done this, and it was a very bad situation. That person was, in fact,
very blatant.
Very blatant. So was much more heavily, disciplined. And so I can talk healthcare sometimes better than I can talk academia. I've been in academia now a little over 8 years as the university, but I did healthcare for almost 30 years. And so since 1993, really, I guess 30 years. But at the end of the day, some of my old stories, because UAB encouraged us to speak, dealt with, those type of issues. And when we get into HIPAA for your users, we're going to focus mostly on security. But when you do go to if you're in the hospital or a doctor's office, every one of us has signed what's called a HIPAA statement, right?
Right.
Sign this HIPAA acknowledgement. And most of the time we'll sign it and we have it either read it and not always necessarily even given a copy to take home.
No. I haven't seen a copy in many years.
The next time, Gary, you're at the doctor's office, ask him for a copy of the HIPAA statement and read it. Now, this is not so much security, but it gives you certain rights, okay? It allows you to view your medical record. They cannot withhold that. Hmm. As an example, I recently changed doctors, and I said, I want a copy of my lab results. They were required to give it to me. Back before HIPAA, they didn't have to even give you your own results. How crazy is that? Yeah. You have the right to if you're in the hospital, to opt out of a directory. What does that mean? It means if I know Gary's at Shreveport General, I don't know the name of the hospital, but Shreveport General, and I come up and I say, is Gary Kaligas there? If you've opted out, they'll say, we have no record of Gary Kaligas being here.
Wow, I didn't know that.
And that's a privacy right. And if you read those privacy rights, people confuse HIPAA privacy and HIPAA security. Security tells us what controls we have to do, and it's not something that most people have to worry about. But privacy, you do have certain rights as a patient. And so one of those is to opt out of a directory. So another story at another hospital, one UAB, because I did consulting for a long time, I did both security and privacy. There was a young lady who had a baby, and she had gone all night through labor with her mother, okay? The mother goes home and takes a shower. And this was actually one of the first couple of days that HIPAA privacy was in force. And so sure enough, the lady goes and takes a shower. She comes back to the hospital and says, I'd like to see my daughter, Jane Smith. And the hospital goes, we have no record of a Jane Smith here.
Wow.
And she goes, well, wait a minute. I was with her last night here. I'm sorry, we have no record, because that's what we were legally obligated to do, was if that individual opted out. Now, what was the recourse? We learned a lesson there, and that was making sure when someone says they're opting out, that they understood what that meant. And this is almost pre-cell phone days. So there was that. But again, there are rights. And so if you go to the doctor, you ask them for the HIPAA statement, HIPAA, I still see sometimes I've been to doctors and they'll say, insert hospital name. They're supposed to really be paying attention to those rights. And I'm not saying they always do. 20 years ago, they didn't. Today, most of them do. At the same time, you know, privacy, you ensure part of your privacy through security. And I'm coming back around that. In other words, what security controls do we put in place to help ensure your privacy, the privacy of your information?
Right.
Gary, me and you are both old. We all have some type of medical condition, right?
That's right.
I have no right of knowing your medical condition. And in fact, even your wife has no right to know your medical condition.
Didn't know that.
Right. It is why they ask you to sign a statement saying, yes, I authorize Tina in this case.
Mm-hmm.
Because the actual, you have the control over who sees it. Now, there's exceptions. Obviously, you can't say, I don't want someone within the health, I don't want Nurse Betty to see it. No, they don't have to get that granular. So it's more externally. You can't say, I don't want my insurance company to know. Well, okay, are you willing to pay cash? Well, no. And then we have to tell the insurance company. So there are covered transactions. But the idea would be that you have control and those HIPAA privacy rights. I know we're going to talk more security in a minute. But the privacy rights, you have a right to not send your information to your home address. And you say, well, why would anybody care? Well, maybe they were having a pregnancy test done.
Okay, good point. Good, definitely good point.
And they didn't want their husband to know because he'd had a procedure done previously. Maybe they were checking for some, you know, and so they say, no, send it to this address, a P.O. box or whatever. And they have that right to receive their communications. And so it's why it gets really crazy about texting and phones. But anyway, let's go back to
Okay, hold that thought. We'll be right back with more information, but now a word from our sponsors and advertisers who do make this radio show possible. You're listening to the Best of Times Radio Hour here on News Radio 710 Keel, proudly presented by AARP Louisiana Neighbors, Town and Country of Shreveport, your Dodge, Chrysler, Ram, and Jeep dealer.
The Best of Times Radio Hour will be right back on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel. Now back to the Best of Times Radio Hour on 101.7 FM at 710 Keel.
Welcome back to our show, the Best of Times Radio Hour, proudly presented by AARP Louisiana Neighbors, Town and Country of Shreveport, your Dodge, Chrysler, Ram, and Jeep dealer. Joining me on my show today as a special guest is Mr. William Miolas, who is the cybersecurity manager with Auburn University in Auburn, Alabama. I've asked him to come on our show to discuss ways to avoid being victimized via computer scams and identity theft. So thank you, Bill, for joining us today here on the Best of Times Radio Hour.
Okay. Thanks for having me back.
My seniors out there who I deal with occasionally, seeing them at different events, and are all confused about these computer terms. Because one of them recently came to me and says, Gary, I think my computer is activated like ransomware. And I said, why do you say that? Because it gives me these stupid messages, and I just turn it off, and sometimes it comes back on again. So explain to our listeners that what is a virus, malware, and ransomware very, very quickly. I don't think everybody understands all those terms.
Well, that's not uncommon. But the biggest thing is that your machine or just even going to a website can present you with pop-ups is one of the examples, and it's happened, and we've had to look at it. One thing, certain websites, you know, as you go to, you'll get a pop-up screen, allow pop-ups or whatever. And so one of the schemes is you'll get a pop-up, and the screen will say, you've been attacked.
Yeah.
Call this number so that Microsoft can help you clean your machine. Okay.
Okay.
The first thing you should do is close that browser and reboot your machine. Because what's typically happened is you went to a rogue site that's either been hijacked or is slightly different than the website you wanted to go to. So instead of going to thebestoftimes.com, you go to the best of time, without the s.com.
Right.
And they make it look similar, and then they get that pop-up from that site because they can copy your site. And they get this pop-up, and it says, your computer has been impacted by ransomware. And then what they're trying to do is they say, let me take over your machine once you call that number. And this has happened. Trust me, I've seen
yes.
it. And so once they have access to your machine, they now control your machine. They put any software on that machine, including starting to record everything you type into your machine.
Wow.
And having your password, every username, everything. So if you get a pop-up, something that looks weird, shut everything down. And one of the key things we're saying is always only go to trusted websites, okay? And if something seems wrong, act on it. So this is one scheme that they use. And so what happened was is the screen pops up. They call the number, and the person responds back. They got a great customer. Ransomware bad actors, as you'll hear the term, they have great customer service, much better than you'll get at most companies, okay? And they say they're polite, and it's no longer the – someone with broken English or something that, no, this sounds very legitimate. It says, hey, let me help you clean up your machine. So I'm going to send you something, and you need to accept this. Well, what that acceptance does, again, is it takes over the machine. So be very wary of anything that just pops up on your computer if you're on a computer.
So what the other thing I want to emphasize is it's better to sometimes I've even had those pop up, and it wouldn't let me exit the bill, so I just turned off the computer and then
turn it off. Absolutely,
and then
reboot
it didn't
turn it
came. Turn it off, then rebooted it. And, you know, I didn't lose anything, but it kept pestering me. And I know thousands of people in the area have had these. And of course, there was a recent movie about it, which was really sad. That how an individual lady had been targeted by this scam, and she accepted it because she was frustrated and ended up losing millions of dollars. It's so sad.
Oh, it happens. It happens all the time. It happened to a friend of mine's, his parents. They lived out of town, and I can talk about some of the other schemes. These are real deals.
So the malware is the what that's emphasized is there's some malware that's on your computer that you can use all these different programs to clean that off, right, as well as viruses.
Well, again, you should have malware protection. If you're using Microsoft, just use Microsoft's Inherent Defender. But the important thing to understand is how does malware get on your computer to begin with?
Okay.
And the way it typically becomes in, it says download this software.
Oh.
A long time ago, there was a program, Gary, called Weatherbug. Okay. And so you're downloading software from an unknown site. You don't know what's contained in that software.
True.
And this can apply to your phone also, not just to your computers, okay? So you have to be very careful about downloading software from unknown sources. Because once I put software on your computer, I can tell it to do anything on your computer. And one of the things that that we're concerned with, and if you read about over and over, whether it's in healthcare and it's happened, is they'll encrypt your computer and say to get your information back.
Oh.
To get your information back, you have to pay ransom.
Okay. But do these ransomware people attack individuals or mainly go after businesses?
Everywhere.
Oh, wow.
Because, again, they're using automation. You know, it's the old, if you're fishing and I have one line in the water, okay? And, Gary, you're fishing and have 100 lines in the water.
Oh,
so they will do, and especially what there's electronic bots, you know, which will actually automate some of this for them. This is where AI becomes to come into play. But at the end of the day, what's happening is you have to protect yourself. And it is a little scary. But, again, if you're going to Amazon.com, make sure you're at Amazon.com. You know, and you say, well, how do they get there? Well, sometimes, you know, we mentioned browsers, you go to the wrong site. Sometimes you get emails. This is we're going to talk about phishing emails.
Okay. Do the phishing emails? Yes.
And phishing emails. They send you an email, and you've got we were unable to deliver this package. You know, click here. This is your bank. Click here. What they're trying to do is get your credentials. Oftentimes, you know, and now they have your bank credentials. Okay. So there's a couple things they want to do is either tie up your computer to get you to pay, right?
Right.
Or use your processing, but really it goes back to why do we rob banks? Because where the money is. They really want access to your financial institution. So let's talk about your credentials, okay? Everybody hates passwords.
That's the truth.
So, Gary, how many passwords do you have?
Many.
And so they're unique across everyone, right?
Yes.
Right. That's, you'd be rare, but there are things called password managers. There's different things, but you really want to be careful and not use the same password everywhere, because if I get it at your one financial institution, oftentimes they know what other financial institutions you have. So I almost assume that people have my password, Gary.
Okay? Really?
Yes.
Okay.
And so what you do is you turn on multi-factor authentication, sometimes referred to as two-factor authentication, everywhere, especially where you have money.
True.
If you don't, especially even where your social media, if you're a Twitter user or a Facebook user, turn on multi-factor. You know, 10 years ago, people didn't understand multi-factor. And if you're out there and don't really understand it, find a friend or someone who can help you set up. Go to the bank itself. Go to the physical bank and have them help you set up multi-factor. Because what that requires, and if I key in Gary's, just say, Gary, you gave me a username and password, okay?
Okay,
so your username is G. Caligas and your password is Yadasimos 1954. Even if I had that information, if you have multi-factor turned on,
it will let you get in, right?
It won't let me get in. Unless I try another scheme, because the schemers have gotten better, to get you to give me that information.
Oh. Hey,
to get you, because they're in this interaction with you now, to give you that passcode, if it's like a six-digit code, right?
Right. That's...
So, again, it's not a 100% silver bullet, but it's multiples and multiples better than just a password.
Yeah, almost all of my accounts have multi-factor authentication, even though I'd have a different password from almost all of them. Other thing somebody wanted to ask you, is it okay to write down all of these passwords in a book and then secure it in a secure file? You said there are various password managers. I personally don't have one. I tried one, but it was so frustrating.
Well, password manager is written down. So sometimes what I do is I don't finish the word. They tell you not to use dictionary words, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
As Gary will tell you by my last name and his last name, one of my passwords used to be Speedy. So, Gary, what does Speedy stand for?
Speedy is your house.
House. So when I would write down my password clue, I'd write the word house down.
Okay, good one.
So if you know another language, that's a possibility. But if you're going to do it, try not to write the full thing down. So what I mean by that? Sometimes if you just know every other letter or just the first letter and four spaces and then combine it with other things, and it's a little bit easier if someone did get it to not own your whole life. Because you got to remember that becomes a very critical asset. Now, because now I know everything about you. It's one of the negatives of password managers. But a lot of times people are letting Google store their passwords today, right?
Right.
And if you haven't put multi-factor on your email account, do it today. Because with it, I can reset all your passwords, right?
Yeah, you could. Okay.
So that's probably your most critical account. Not that to be Gmail. It can be Yahoo Mail. It can be – I just have to be a Gmail guy. But, again, writing it down – And a lot of times what we oftentimes do is, how do you select a good password, Gary, okay?
True.
So I will give you one of my all-time best passwords, okay, that I no longer can use because everybody would know it. But my all-time best password was BLTPG #4 or #04, okay, because now I have a special character and I have numbers.
Right.
And you said, well, what does BLTPG mean? Well, BLTPG stands Billy Loves to Play Golf, #04. Now, one of the things that people make us do, and there's actually some new guidance coming out on passwords, and that is to try to get away from having the complexity, the special characters, et cetera, et cetera. They're a little counterintuitive. So, Gary, I had a password, BLTPG, #04, and I had to change it after 60 days.
Yeah.
What did I change it to?
You change the ending number.
Right. And that's what many of us end up doing with our passwords. So it's more important, though, to select a strong password. Maybe change, you know, and it is hard, but sometimes people come up with their own way of creating a password that's different at different organizations. Maybe they change the three letters here or there. dates, some of the other things, but have a code system for themselves. Because it's hard to keep up with 20, 30, 40 passwords. And that's why I stress multi-factor. I stress BLTPG, I kind of jumped over, is remembering the first letter of a phrase.
Good point, yes.
Okay, some people are musically inclined. Gary, you're more musically inclined than I am, okay? So the only one I could remember when I was doing passwords was the wheels on the bus go round and round.
That's a good one. That's a good one.
You know, Mary had a little lamb.
Okay.
That could become part, whose fleece was white as snow, could become your password. Don't use the ones I'm giving you. You know, but any kind of phrase. So there is movement to get away from some of the complexity because people do number them. But one thing that is not changing, and it's going to get bigger and bigger, is the length of the password.
Oh.
We are currently at 12. We are evaluating moving to 15-character passwords.
Okay, so it makes those people out there and the trying to figure out the passwords and the, to get in the system more difficult than using
right.
When there's only three or four, they can really get in pretty easily.
Statistically, right, statistically. And so if you go back to Billy loves to play golf would have become my password, you know, because it's a passphrase. Now, I'm not as convinced. There's passwords are terrible. They've been used since the beginning of time. You know, back to caveman, what's the password to get in the cave? But at the end of the day, they're weak, and that's why I always stress multi-factor,
yes.
Because it is really your strongest control today. And, yeah, they're not perfect. Let me just be clear, but, you know, it's a 99.9% solution.
Let me ask you a question. I know my listeners want to understand this. Occasionally we get notices from various companies saying that, or hear it on the news, that there's been a major hack of AT&T that's taken all everybody's passwords and usernames. I know that's important, but what do the, when it goes on the, whatever it is, the black web, how do these experts, these criminals use that? They just well, decide at random just to start, you know, they have millions of them, so how do they pick someone?
They have computer programs, and they'll just start running through and seeing which ones can be logged into.
Oh.
And you know, like most of the times when you, if you have been a victim of those, I also assume, Gary, that to protect yourself, I assume, and I could dig it up, but the bad actors have your name, Gary, they have your birth date, and they have your social. Okay?
Okay.
And you just go with that assumption, first off. And so forget the passcode for just a minute. Just assume they have the most critical data about you. And what they want to do is they want to set up, they want to take out credit in your name. I had a person here that used to work at Auburn who no longer did, but he retired. And someone had gotten their information. And the bottom line was able to apply for some credit. And fortunately, he was able to stop it and not lose any money. But you have to assume they know who you are, okay? And they can get fake IDs, and I can go to a bank and try to get credit in your name. So the most important thing outside of multi-factors, I told you, protect your authentication, is remember that audit trail I said you monitored what was going on and who could see things?
Right.
You have to monitor your credit. You have to know if someone's done an inquiry to try to get credit. And then the next step beyond that is how to freeze your credit. And what does that mean? That means no one can actually even – now, there's a way to freeze and unfreeze.
Right.
And Gary, I'd be glad to send you the website name if you want to put it on your website, okay? The credit agencies are required to allow you the ability to freeze your credit, okay?
Sure.
And so if you freeze your credit, it makes it much harder for these bad actors who may have the information necessary to take out loans in your name. But as a minimum, you should monitor your credit. I don't endorse any product. I you know, that's just a no-no, But I will. One of the ones I have used, and I'll give you a couple others. Give me just a second. I've got some other stuff. Let's see. Okay. So there are some people have heard of LifeLock, Xander, Norton, MyFICO, Aura. Those are all paid. Gary knows I'm cheap, so I use a free one called Credit Karma. There's also Credit Sesame. And Experian has a free and. But the idea is if you lock it, that's not as needed as much. And to lock it, I'll send you this, Gary, but it's because it's kind of hard to find, but it's the FTC.gov, www.consumer.ftc.gov. And they have some articles out there about how to freeze your credit.
Okay. But at least everybody offers a free annual report, those various Equifax and TransUnion and
right.
Experian.
And the easiest way to go to find those is now, of course, a lot of your credit cards offer those and other things.
Sure.
You know, My American Express does, Credit Karma does, many of those do. But there used to be ads, Gary, if you remember, freecreditreport.com.
Right.
Remember that? Freecreditreport.com charged you. The actual site to get your free is to go to www.annualcreditreport.com.
Okay. Yeah, I've heard of that one. I think I've used that one.
I think I may have given you that one. Right. So, you know, you go to annual. So if you use those sources, and again, because you're really trying to protect, you know, your money. So that's ways to protect your credit. And Gary, I don't know how much more time we have, but I did want to talk about how people are trying to scam you out of some of your money.
Okay, we're going to do that right. We're going to do that in our next segment. Hold that thought.
Yeah.
We'll be right back with more information, but now a word from our sponsors and advertisers who do make this radio show possible. You're listening to the Best of Times Radio Hour here on News Radio 710 KEEL, proudly presented by AARP Louisiana Neighbors, Tenant Country of Shreveport, your Dodge, Chrysler, Ram, and Jeep dealer.
The Best of Times Radio Hour will be right back on 101.7 FM and 710 KEEL. And now back to the Best of Times Radio Hour on 101.7 FM and 710 KEEL.
Welcome back to our show, the Best of Times Radio Hour, proudly presented by AARP Louisiana Neighbors, Tending Country of Shreveport, your Dodge, Chrysler, Ram, and Jeep dealer. Joining me on my show today is a special guest, is William Miolos, the cybersecurity manager with Auburn University in Auburn, Alabama. And he's been discussing the ways to avoid being victimized by computer scams and identity theft. So thank you, Bill, for joining us today. So in our last segment here, what would you like to cover?
So I'm going to cover the future of scams, and the future of scams are real, and they're happening today. And that is, it only takes a few seconds of someone's recorded voice, what Gary's doing to me today, to anyone, for me to use artificial intelligence and play something back that would fool your mother.
Wow.
And so there's some articles and things where this has happened. It is, you know, I'm looking at the Federal Trade Commission, said there were 36,000 reports or something similar. And so what happens is they will get a voice of a family member, okay? Gary, they call and they pretend to be your grandchild. They pretend to be your wife. They pretend to be someone. They don't actually have not kidnapped the person, or the person was injured in Connecticut and I need help to do X, Y, and Z. Okay, and so this is the scam that scares me the most because it is so easy and so deceptive. If you are on Twitter, you've seen where they can sound like Trump, they can sound like Biden, they can sound like Kamala, they can sound like Biden, they can sound like anyone that they get video of. These artificial intelligence are almost indistinguishable, but especially just the voice. And they will get a voice and it's in a frantic and they're trying to tell you to hurry, hurry, hurry. So remember how we said, Gary, you need to have passwords and protect your passwords. Your family also needs a safe word.
Oh, yes. I've heard of that.
Okay, so what a safe word does for you is you train every family member from the oldest to the youngest that if to validate them, they're going to say, you're going to tell that bad actor, because they're going to only give you just a snippet, just, yes, yeah, you know, they're not going to let you talk to them. Tell them to tell me the safe word.
Okay.
Now, that's one of the recommendations I've seen. So know your family safe word. Gary doesn't need to be colleagues, okay? but something that they could remember, even a younger person could remember, you know, and it may be, you know, it's not something I'm going to be able to pick up on Facebook, but that's the idea of trying to validate. The other thing that we've done in my family is we have Life 360. I know where all my family members are at all times by their phone.
Okay, that's interesting.
You know, so in other words, if they say they're in Connecticut, I know they're not in Connecticut because they're here. Try to reach out to the parent. I think a lot of your callers are grandparents, such as you and I are. But try to reach out to the parent. Said when they'll go with it, 99 times they'll say they're right here, or they're in school, or I feel safe about it. They'll tell you, don't contact law enforcement. Contact law enforcement, okay? And what they'll do is they'll even tell you to go to the bank, get the money, and they're going to send a courier to your house. And oftentimes the couriers don't know what's happening. They're not part of the scam.
I didn't never fathom that one. Okay.
Okay, they may be working for Uber Eats or something, okay?
Oh, okay. Come pick up this package at some place or deliver this. Wow.
Correct. So it is the scam that I am most concerned with. I think you'll see more about that in the future. So what I want to kind of do, if I know we've got a couple of minutes here, and I'll let you get a question, but just tell people to protect your passwords, use multi-factor. Be careful of emails you get. Be careful of websites you go to. Don't trust any of them. If someone says your power bill's late, don't do it in the email. Go to the power company site.
Good point.
I know I paid that. Go to the original site. Know the site. And thirdly, this AI is going to be even scarier for us because it's the Saudi prince type thing, or they're going to stress you got to do something quick. And so have a safe word for your family. I think it's important for all of us to know.
That's a great recommendation. Many of the other things are great, great recommendations. But again, I was not aware that the AI is going to be that powerful. I haven't seen that much of it myself, but I've heard about it. But you say that's going to be the biggest concern in our future, right?
It is happening now.
It is happening now. Well, again, thank you for joining us today. I know that I've learned a lot of new things, and I'm sure my many thousands of listeners out there have done as well. So thank you a lot for taking valuable time from your work, and I appreciate you, Bill, for being on our show today.
All right. Thanks, Shadashimos.
Have a good one. Take care.
See ya.
Everyone, please join us next Saturday for another show that could benefit you or your loved ones. Don't forget to pick up your personal copy of The Best of Times at one of our 270 distribution locations. May God bless you and your family. God bless America. Have a great day and a great weekend. Thank you again for listening to our show. I'm Gary Kaligas, wishing you and yours the best of times, both today and every day. Have a great day.